This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so let's follow up here with Representative Omar. Again, this is starts off with Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept. Obviously, he's had a lot of success as a journalist in a number of areas. And he's reacting to Kevin McCarthy, who had been calling out Ilhan Omar and also Representative Rashida Tlaib on their criticism towards Israel. This has become a bigger topic in this country. Some calling for boycotts, some saying that we have aligned ourselves too strongly with Israel, and some saying that within that same conversation, let's speak out more for the Palestinians. Then there's been a large pushback by a number of people saying, come on, it's not the same, that we should continue to rally around Israel, our greatest ally in the Middle East. So Glenn Greenwald tweeted out, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, he's the tops in the House, he's the majority leader, with the Democrats being in charge, threatens punishment for the two I mentioned, over criticisms of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. And Representative Omar comes back, it's all about the Benjamins, citing a Diddy song from about 20 years ago. She's going to go back and try to defend this on it's the power of money, okay? Because she's talking about, you know, different groups and talking about money, even though some of these groups have nothing to do with money. They're just advocates. But nobody's going to deny the influence of some groups. But let's not forget what part of this, part of why people react so strongly to this. Let's just be honest. The negative stereotypes about people, the Jewish faith, and money. I don't want to hear one more comment from Ilhan, like when she said about hypnotized years ago, and I get to this, and she's like, I didn't realize people would react that way. Or her comment about Lindsey Graham, where he's compromised, when again, it just had come up from other commentators. Well, the reason why Lindsey Graham has changed his views is, well, look at the info that Donald Trump might have. There were political commentators just saying that. There were media types saying that. And it had come up with Lindsey Graham for a long time, where liberals, who normally are outraged if somebody makes a comment, and rightfully so, about who somebody might be attracted to. But funny, when it was about somebody on the other side, oh, it's kind of fun. And so when she said compromise, right when it was back up again, oh, I had no idea. I had no idea. So here we go again. Representative Omar is going to put out, which is playing off this racial, this religious stereotype. And again, it's, oh, I didn't realize. Give me a bleeping break. It's ridiculous on this one. Do I 100% know what is in Representative Omar's heart? Hell no, I don't. But you have enough comments out there that are insulting, that play off a stereotype, then you deserve the scrutiny. And if you think it's just Republicans who are calling her out, au contraire, leadership, the leadership team, headed by Nancy Pelosi, obviously, anti-Semitism must be called out, confronted, and condemned whenever is encountered without exception. We are and will always be strong supporters of Israel and Congress because we understand that our support is based on shared values and strategic interests. Legitimate criticism of Israel's policies is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate in the U.S. and that the U.S. and Israel share. But Congressman Omar's use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusation by Israel supporters is deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks and call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments. There are other comments from other people within Congress. You are 100% entitled to speak out on issues, including disagreeing on policy of the U.S. towards Israel, disagreeing on where Israel stands on their treatment of Palestinians. But then when you're playing cutesy around the edges of stereotypes, which have been out there forever and acting, oh, I didn't mean that at all. She has overcome so much in her life and is such an accomplished person. And there are ways within her strong intelligence to speak out on this issue. But to come up with this, she deserves the criticism. And I'll be very curious if she does step up and answer this. Because I'm sorry, her pattern a few other times has been to vanish. And if it's going to be called out by Democrats towards the other side, it better be called out here and be consistent. So you can chime in on this anytime you would like, 81807. Here's the deal. We had great luck with Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries last week, okay? Right after Laura with the news update and traffic and weather, some caller is going to have the option either of a Pro Flowers gift certificate for $50 or a Sherry's Berries $50 gift certificate. And we're doing it towards music, okay? Grammys last night. John Bream on 235 to talk Grammys today. Give us some musical explanation tied to Valentine's Day. Maybe it's the song that you and your boyfriend, husband, wife, girlfriend, maybe it's the same song with your wife and girlfriend. Laura, that would really show me something.
Yeah.
That would show me a lot. If your wife and girlfriend, you get the same song. But what is some song connection tied to Valentine's Day and tied to you that will stand out for us in some particular way? We're going to give out one Pro Flowers and one Sherry's Berries, so you better call right now. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Here's Laura. All right, we're finishing up some of the comments on Representative Omar, okay? And then we're going to get to the songs. One person just literally dropped off, so one line is available. Because Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers, thank you so much for helping us out. I've been doing work with them for a long, long time. We want to hear your Valentine's Day song. You know, maybe it's amazingly heartfelt. Maybe it's funny. We're drawn to humor. We will fully admit we're drawn to humor, but even though sometimes I don't show it, we all have hearts here on this show. So if there is a particular Valentine's Day story tied to a song, since the Grammys were last night and Bream's on today, that's where we're going. So 651-989-9226. Do not just call in to win. You have to call in and share with us your story tied to a song. Some of the comments on Representative Omar. And then to your calls on Valentine's Day. Chad, you find it ironic that Omar loves tweet crazy stuff. Sounds a bit like Trump, doesn't it? In a small way, yes. Okay, and the question is, with President Trump, it never hurts him with his base, ever. No matter what he says, whatever hateful, false comments. Does this, because I find these comments by Representative Omar hateful. They're insulting. If you're playing off a stereotype, not criticizing Israel, go for it. Go for the policy. But playing up comments, hypnotized, or the Lindsey Graham one, oh, I had no idea. But BS. To overcome all the stereotyping that she has had to overcome, my God, if I just read the text from people here, because she's a Muslim about what people say, and then to play off some of it also about somebody else, I think it's even worse. Then somebody texts me and says, well, if she said this publicly, what's she saying behind the scenes? And I text back this person, are you calling out President Trump the same way? And this person said, yes. Chad, I firmly believe Omar's doing all this crap because she's jealous that AOC gets all the press. Not to get this type of press. No, she's not. AOC is getting an extraordinary amount of press, and hers is mixed also. Omar needs to leave her office now. This is someone who's well-right, who sends us texts just ripping us all the time. So I hope you feel the same way when the president offers up sometimes repugnant tweets, just to be consistent here, because we'll call out both sides in the show. I'd like to see this person also be the same when calling out both sides. Okay, on to songs. Do you and John have a certain song?
No, but there's kind of a playlist. There's like a playlist John played a lot when we first started dating.
Oh, okay, let's hear it. What is it?
Well, there's a ton of stuff on there. Like Ray LaMontagne is in there. John listened to a bunch of oldies. You know, just like when you hear those songs, it like brings you back to first started hanging out.
Right. So ours, it's not the only one, but we have our differences. And then I try to act like a younger kid. Let's see. Just meet in the middle, right? And then it works like.
That is a very odd love song to be.
Well, it's not as much as a love song, but it's like, okay, let's compromise. Let's come together. We're better together. And then also jump around. No. But yeah, I like that. I like the tune. And then kind of we meet in the middle at times. You're scoffing at it, aren't you? You're laughing at our love song.
No, it's.
Thanks a lot. I'm over here in the corner crying, and you're laughing at our love song. It's some song tied to Valentine's Day. And if it's an absolute love song, go for it. Sandra, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, hello. My song is My Girl. And what's ironic about it is my husband's been a professional guitar musician in bands since he was 15 in the 60s. And My Girl does not have a lead guitar part in it.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so that's his song. And he was not a dancer when I met him. Oh. He learned to dance. Eventually, because I made him, but
I'm facing that. I'm facing the dilemma also.
He would dance on that song.
Okay, so what type? Just like formal, like to slow song dancing, or to all
slow.
Sides? Okay, slow.
He would dance a slow. He's in a variety band, but he would slow dance to My Girl when he wouldn't dance to anything else.
But he would do that because of your song.
Yes,
I like that. Okay, Sandra, you're on hold. Lindsay, that's pretty good, right? That's a good story.
I like the irony, you know? Yes. It's got a little tie to it.
Yeah. Mark is in Excelsior. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
It's not a real Valentine's or love song, but it's Stand By Me only because my oldest son has numerous health concerns, and this one particular time he was facing some serious surgery. And he was old enough to kind of appreciate the situation, and he asked both my wife and I, he says, just stand by me. And at that moment, in the background, they had some music playing, and it was Stand By Me, and my wife and I just looked at each other.
Yeah.
And it happened to be on Valentine's Day, and the song was playing, and we looked at each other. We kind of just, you know, had that little glimmer in our eye, and ever since, it's brought back the memory of that moment. And so many other, probably 20, 30 other surgeries that my son's had.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we always lose on that song. And the outcome has been beautiful. You'd never know that by looking at him now that he's had the health concerns.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So he's doing very well now?
He still has some concerns, but nothing that's life-threatening at this point.
Good.
So things are
very good. All right, Mark, I'm going to do this. So we don't fall too far behind. Let's get Sandra and Mark's numbers, Lindsay, and then I'll open up a couple more calls. We'll take a couple more calls. We come on. This is the idea. It can be an absolute love song, but it also can be these stories that we're hearing so far. Mike and Dave, you hang on. We'll clear a couple lines. Sandra and Mark, don't hang up yet. Again, we're playing for a $50 gift certificate from either Pro Flowers or Sherry's Berries. You can go to either place, proflowers.com or berries.com, if you don't win, for a fabulous gift. Short break. Come back with more on this Monday on News Talk 830 WCCO. Would this be a good song to have as your love song, Lindsay? Roller Coaster of Love? I don't know.
If you're a good dancer, Lindsay.
Yeah, what? This is a good dancing tune. I suppose every love story is a bit of a roller coaster, right? If people are honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm very happy in my relationship, but there were points over this weekend where I was like, I swear to God, if you bother me one more time, I'm going to hurt you.
I mean, not with me. I mean, if you're with me, it's just smooth sailing. There's never an issue whatsoever. What do you think about that? What do you think the likelihood that's true? No issues at all if you're in a relationship with me. How about every couple moments? All right, Dave is in Ramsey. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, have you ever seen the movie Ghost?
I have. In fact, I turned the roll down, and then they picked Patrick Swayze. Is that what we're trying to get, by the way, Lindsay? We're trying to track down a guest. And we might be seeing, is that the guest that we're trying to get?
I think that is him, yeah.
Hey, Dave, do me a favor. There's a guest on TV. We're trying to get him to return our calls. Just yell at your TV, see if he'll call us. Okay, so the movie Ghost. Tell me more about it, how it resonates with you guys.
Well, the famous scene of the pottery making.
Sure,
scene,
yep.
Unchained Melody.
Yeah. And that's.
So back when we first were together early in our relationship, we watched that movie. My wife loved it. So I used to sing that to her, just, you know, real quietly or whatever. It was just the two of us.
Can you hear it now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can.
It's the high tech sound quality we have right now off Lindsay's iPhone. That's what we do here at The Neighbor. You know, other stations, they just punch them up. We just go to our phones.
Yeah, that's pretty classy.
So has it worked out really well? For you guys?
Oh, yeah, I think so. We've been married 30 years, have 4 kids.
I'd say it worked out rather well.
Yes.
And it's a great tune.
It is a great tune.
Dave, you're on hold. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it. Stay on hold. Okay. Diana is in Hutchinson. Go ahead, Diana.
Hi, Chad. In May of 1981, I met my husband. He was in the Marine Corps at the time. And in the Marine Corps, everybody is known by their last name. His name was Jensen, so while we were dating, I was known as Jensen's girl. And that's when Rick Springfield came out with Jesse's Girl.
Jesse's Girl, yes.
And we've been together for 38 years, and that's still our song.
It still is.
Yep.
And Rick is still with us. He occasionally shows up at a casino in town. Do you guys ever see him?
He did. He was at Mystic Lake once, but we weren't able to go.
Well, you're gonna have
even when they play music there, they still play that song 38 years later.
Oh, for sure. I literally heard it. I heard it on Jack a couple days ago. So
yeah, love it.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, 2 more calls. Carl in Eagan.
Yes, sir. You aren't going to recognize this song because it's antique like me. But it's from the early 1900s. I'm not quite that old.
I was going to say, you sound tremendous for somebody who was listening to tunes in the early 1900s.
It was my father's favorite song. Matter of fact, it was the only song that he would ever sing to my mother because he did not like singing. But would you like to hear it?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
That's beautiful, Carl. You are a strong, strong kid. Good voice, too, Lindsay, didn't you think?
Very good voice, and I love that he just went for it.
Oh, yeah, that's ballsy right there.
Normally, we would needle him.
Yes, he just jumped right in. Lisa, you're our last caller. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yes, mine is I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton. Everybody thinks it's a Whitney Houston song.
Yeah, she did it first.
It belongs to my sweetheart, Randy, and I. We've only been together 4 years, but it's a strong song that belongs to us.
Would you like to sing a little bit?
I think I'm going to
you're going to pass
on that one.
That's fine. That is fine. Thank you so much. Now, I literally just was going to pick Carl. So, Carl, you need to call back because Carl stepped up. He sang. So, I'm picking one and you're picking one. Don't you, you agree with me on Carl?
Oh, yeah. No, Carl gets first choice for sure.
And Carl? Then,
so you picked Carl. I'm going with Jensen's girl.
Yeah. Little Jessie?
Yeah.
Little Jessie's girl? I like
her. Yeah, because I, you know, I don't get me wrong. I am a classic love song kind of gal. But I love the fact that they called her Jensen's girl. Like,
yeah.
I just, there's something very sweet about that. And to have the song and... Yeah, I'm in on that one.
We're
going to get Carl back on the line, and
yep.
Then it was Diana, right?
Diana from Hutchinson, and then hopefully Carl is calling back. So, again, thanks to Pro Flowers. Thanks to Sherry's Berries. So we've had a couple different themes so far. We had your awful disasters last week. We got the songs today. We're going to give you another chance tomorrow to win a $50 gift certificate from Pro Flowers and a $50 gift certificate from Sherry's Berries. Lancey, you want to know an awful way to watch the Amy Klobuchar presentation? It's you watch it where the Facebook comments are coming in. I think you feel worse about the country. About just how unbelievably polarized we are. And it really doesn't matter now almost anybody at this point. The hate, the disgust, the angst, or on the other side, the flawlessness, the perfection. It's like we all should bow down. I mean, it's just nuance is over in America and has been for a while. So if you did watch it somehow with the Facebook comments out there, yeah. And guess what? A lot of people in the country fit in either category. They had a lot of people before. I think that's fairly standard. It wasn't that bad. I mean, I wasn't there. I'm assuming you weren't there. It wouldn't have been that bad to watch that, right? Considering what it was like yesterday. If you were already there, getting there would have been a pain in the behind. But it was 20 and it was snowing.
It was nice.
It was nice, right?
I loved the coverage from the local media because they knew, you know, like the national media was going to talk about the weather and whatnot. But
yep.
I loved.
Including the president.
Exactly. I loved the photos from the local media of there was a couple who cross-country skied in.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's
you know,
good.
It's just, it's like, it is very Minnesotan to embrace it, laugh at it. You know, it's kind of like when the Super Bowl is here and mm-hmm. it's miserable out. Like, you just
yes.
have to make the best of it. It's Minnesota.
100%.
Like, the man last night riding his Rascal scooter down Winnetka because the sidewalks were too dangerous.
Oh.
Like, you do you, dude. I applaud you.
Well, just an aside on that one, too. So, from Plymouth, the Q's appointment at Children's Clinic. I mean, just trying outlet after outlet because I'm listening to our station and hearing about the traffic. I end up in Glenwood, and there is a guy behind me in a regular bicycle, in just a normal 10-speed bicycle, trying to bike, and he had to pull over, and then he would kind of catch up to me, and another time he had to pull over. No fat tire bike. This was a normal bike.
Was he covered in like plastic garbage bags? Because you would be soaked. I mean, you're just done.
He was layered up big time.
Okay.
Right? But I don't know how he's doing it because it, in fact, he caught up to me three times and he had to pull over. So I don't know how many times he pulled over. But yeah, all the driving was fun. I thought it was just her yesterday, didn't you think? I for those of us who have paid attention to her, who have listened to her, who know who she is politically. I'm not saying I know who she is personally. It was quintessential Amy. She's comfortable. She is smart. She is skilled. She is underrated as a public speaker. She's better when she's even funny. And she had a little bit of that. And I think she's going to handle herself very, very well in the debates. Now I'm going to circle back to the working for a controversy for a little bit. And I'll go over a little bit of some of the same things I said yesterday, because it's no different now that BuzzFeed put out a huge story. This is something that the political insiders in Minnesota have been saying for a long, long time. If somebody wrote a lengthy story on it, I'm forgetting it right now. If somebody did, I'd like to see it. I'm somewhat surprised that somebody didn't do it, because when her turnover for a long time is the highest in the Senate, and then it's third, and you're the senator from the state who is immensely popular, I'm surprised that story wasn't covered a little bit more in this state on the double standard. It's not even close regarding how female politicians and male politicians are treated in some areas. It's embarrassing. It's sexist. It's insulting. But you know what? You can have stories which are critical of a female politician, and it's not automatically that. Part of what drives me nuts about Donald Trump is his perpetual bullying of people. I hate bullies with an absolute passion. If you accept these background reports in two very different stories, that's bullying type of behavior. It certainly adds more credibility when people are willing to go on the line and give their name of Chad Hartman, Lindsey Gensel, Adam Carter, Laura Oakes, etc. But it doesn't eliminate it. And so far, because she's good at this, I mean, she's really good at answering questions. She's saying, I'm a fan of the press, I am tough to work for, and trying to pivot. I think the story doesn't have a lot of shelf life now until or if some people come on the record. But then you look at it and say February 11th. Then this isn't going to be coming up in March and April and May and June unless multiple people continue to come on the record and it's something just awful. Could it potentially come up by the time we get to debates and when people are sizing people up? Maybe. It might actually be better for her. In fact, not might. It's better for her if this story was going to come out that it comes out now if it doesn't turn bigger. Okay? Now, she's going to be everywhere, just like all these folks are everywhere. But a lot of everywhere is raising money. Do they have examples of how she abused her employees? Yes. Go to BuzzFeed story. Go to Huffington Post, because we mentioned it a lot the other day about the comments. And again, background, not on the record. If you're consistent about saying, I never believe sources unless their name's on, fine. But don't just be the person who says, well, I don't believe it now because you like Amy, or you just believe it now because you hate Amy. But if it's Donald Trump or it's a Republican, it's the exact opposite.
I was just going to say, I like Amy. From all that I have seen, I like Amy. There are things that bother her about me, or that bother her, yeah, that bother her.
Bother you about her.
Bother me, thank you. Bother me about her, but that's more from a, she doesn't, her people don't return my phone calls when I'm trying to book her. So that's more just a.
Can we just be selfish about that?
Yeah, selfish little, you know, producer problem.
We'll just be selfish about it, because this is not going to influence my vote, but I still think one of the fair criticisms about her was that she was so consumer-friendly driven. And, like, if that's a criticism, that seems odd to some people. But on a lot of bigger issues, she wasn't as involved as she has been the last couple of years. But the last couple of times we got her on the show, it was because she called in the newsroom and we transferred her here. And the last time she came on, it was when everything was going on with Al Franken, and I pushed her on multiple questions to the point that it went into Paul and Jordana's show, and I was told by somebody well inside the campaign that she was furious about the questions I asked. They were fair questions. And then now what happens if you reach out to the staff?
Well, the staff, you know, it's with anything. You never know who you're supposed to reach out to, so I just never get any response. But my point being on
which is
how I feel about this story is I don't think it should just get brushed under the rug because I like her from outside appearances. I have worked for emotionally, psychologically abusive bosses before. And it is a tough place to be, especially when you are at the bottom of the totem pole. You are probably working paycheck to paycheck, which I've seen what politicians' aides make because, you know,
yes,
it's public information. They're not rolling in dough. So you're trying to keep your job. You look at it as a big opportunity. You're working for Senator Amy Klobuchar. You want to make this work. That being said, I want to hear the exact same reporting about every other candidate that comes out.
Fair.
Because this can't just be a, hey, I'm Amy's old employee, and I'm upset with how things happened and how I was treated, and I think people need to know this. That's not to say that there aren't people in every other campaign who feel the same way.
Absolutely.
It's one thing when someone reaches out to the press and says, I have a story to tell.
Yep.
I'm going to do it anonymously, but there's more of us. So I want the due diligence of, okay, maybe she's a tough person to work with. What is she like behind closed doors? What do you get when she's up on stage? What do you get when it's not work-related? And then I want to hear that for every other candidate before the debates, because if it's straight up comes down to anonymous reports, it has to be across the board then.
I agree with that. And like somebody's saying, isn't this a small story issue? In the totality, for sure, unless significantly more comes out. And as I said earlier, it's better for her that it comes out now when we're still 11 months away from anybody voting, or for a lot of people, 10 months away from anybody paying attention outside of those who like politics and like talk radio. Okay, because I was going to say, just briefly, how is she going to raise the money? How is she, because you have to raise a staggering amount of money, and what's the hook? I hate that you have to have a hook right now or a brand, but seemingly you do. And she can play the slow burn very well because she is smart. She is good on her feet. She does represent an area of the country where we get too hung up on a region, but it's a fact that Democrats need to come back after President Trump won some key states here. So her benefit is the slow burn, but I still think, as I said last week, she has to fare well in Iowa, New Hampshire. Iowa is the proximity, right? And she's been there so often, and New Hampshire with more centrist candidates. If she doesn't play well early in those two states, I think she would be done. So that's a big part of it.
Let's take a break here because Representative Omar has responded on Twitter. I'm printing her statement right now, so we can take a quick break and you can read that when we come back.
Absolutely. Let's get to that and then also continue to get your text, because we spent we interviewed Keith Ellison, the attorney general. Let's just be honest. He ducked it. He ducked it twice, but did say he would reach out to her. I respect Keith, but I don't think he just heard about this story 5 minutes ago. So we talked about that with him and then afterwards. So we're talking about Representative Omar, the statement, and then some of your texts on Amy Klobuchar. Back in moments. It's 51 past 1. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check, and I know it's right by me, but I don't have it. How about you read it, Lindsay? You read it better than me anyway.
It's the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to lower your energy bills with a free home energy audit.
And of course, I just found it right now. Here is Representative Omar's statement off the latest controversy when she was responding to a tweet from Glenn Greenwald after Kevin McCarthy, the majority leader, had been critical of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib on his belief about their criticism towards Israel too strong. And when Glenn Greenwald was defending the free speech of the congresswoman, the congresswoman said it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And Nancy Pelosi called her out. Many Democrats called her out. I called her out on this show, as I have on a number of other issues also. She is well within her right to criticize Israel, well within the right to criticize our policy towards Israel on what's taking place with the Palestinians and others. But when you're playing off Jewish stereotypes and some of these other tweets, this is a smart, successful, really remarkable what she has done in her life, without a question of doubt. And to play around on things like this, absolutely should have been called out and absolutely should apologize. And this is what we now have. from the representative. Anti-Semitism is real. I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear me when others attack me for my identity. 100%. This is me now commenting. Well, I'll comment at the end. I apologize. This is why I unequivocally apologize. Again, Ilhan Omar, this is why I unequivocally apologize. At the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it's AIPAC or the NRA or the fossil fuel industry. AIPAC is tied to Jewish Americans and defending Israel. It's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it. If she wants to speak out on these issues, more power to it. But do it in an educated, smart, non-insulting, playing off stereotypes. I'm a little sketchy, I gotta be, on that she's not aware of, she's going to put things out there about money. Come on. To act like that has been used against Jews for a long time on stereotypes, please. So I don't buy that part, but the fact she's unequivocally apologizing, but also raising the point of a political topic, that's fine for me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.